Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 196 at 24,461. S&P 500 down 17 at 2,749. NASDAQ Composite down 68 at 7,712. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps down 18 at 1,688. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 3 basis points at 2.9%. Oil up 13 cents at $65.84 per barrel. Gold down 70 cents at $12.67.90 per ounce. The Dow Industrials posted its 8th straight losing session. It's the longest streak since March 2017. The Dow is negative year to date. The S&P 500 down 0.6% as energy shares fell 1.9%. The NASDAQ Composite pulled back 0.9%, erasing earlier gains led by declines in Amazon and Alphabet. The NASDAQ reached record highs earlier in the week, but it's down 0.4% for the week to date. Meanwhile, the Dow down 2.5% for the week, and the S&P 500 down 1.1% for the week. Automakers fell, with General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler all sliding at least 1.5%. The move lower followed a profit warning from German car manufacturer Daimler, which said its bottom line could be affected by the U.S.-China trade tensions. Daimler has big factories in the U.S. that export to China. Mercedes-Benz had record sales in the first 3 months of this year, led by China, where sales increased by 17%. But Daimler, the owner of Mercedes-Benz, said this year's earnings from car sales were expected to be slightly below the previous year. Daimler down 4%, VW dropped 2.4%. Tomorrow, the European Union will launch retaliatory tariffs against U.S. exports. The move comes after Trump imposed steep duties on steel and aluminum earlier this month. American exports such as blue jeans, motorbikes, and bourbon whiskey will be targeted. Brussels drew up the list of products in March when Trump initially proposed the 25% tariffs on steel imports and 10% on aluminum. It also targets Canada, Mexico, and other close U.S. allies. Cranberries, orange juice, sweet corn, and peanut butter are among the other goods targeted. Many of the products the EU has in its sight are specifically chosen to have maximum political effect. Bourbon whiskey produced in Kentucky, the state of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Orange juice, a key export for Florida. That's a swing state in the U.S. elections. The EU tariffs will affect just over $3 billion worth of U.S. goods, but EU trade officials say those levies could be removed if Washington removed its metal tariffs. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled internet retailers can be required to collect sales taxes in states where they have no physical presence. If you've enjoyed some tax-free shopping online, you'll likely have to pay more for those items. Big online retailers like Wayfair and Overstock will likely be required to collect sales taxes in every state. Global Data Retail estimates the additional cost for consumers could be north of $15 billion a year. However, Amazon, which dominates the online shopping space, is expected to stay largely unaffected. This is because Amazon has already been collecting sales tax for its own products in most U.S. states where they have warehouses and fulfillment centers. This may not be the case for third-party sellers on Amazon Marketplace, which account for nearly half of its total sales. With the Supreme Court decision in this case, South Dakota v. Wayfair, those third-party retailers may have to start collecting sales tax. Retailers are already operating on thin profit margins, so it's likely consumers will absorb the cost in the form of higher prices. The ruling is a win for brick-and-mortar retailers that have long asked for a level playing field. Now, for a big retailer like Walmart, which has brick-and-mortar as well as a significant online presence, it might not be a big change. Walmart already charges and remits sales tax in most states since they have a physical presence across the nation. While large online retailers have the resources to cope with collecting sales tax, smaller individual sellers on Amazon Marketplace and other platforms may have a hard time complying with the court decision. There are over 10,000 tax jurisdictions across the U.S. because of county and city taxes. The challenge for smaller players will be significant, and the concern here is that complexity could stymie innovation and entrepreneurship. Or the small players might get a pass, maybe an exemption for small outfits that sell less than $100,000 of goods or services into a state, or they could escape scrutiny because of scale. The court's opinion did not address the new burden placed on small online sellers, but mentions that technology solutions could contain the cost of compliance. Amazon, for example, has already developed systems to collect and remit sales tax on behalf of third-party sellers. It's been doing so in Washington since this year, after that state passed a law mandating the collection of online sales taxes from retailers that do not have a physical presence in the state. Online retailers that host small businesses like eBay and Etsy will probably be responsible for collecting the sales tax. Small businesses selling goods on those sites will probably charge their customers an additional sales tax. Sellers may also see increased administrative cost as they try to manage this new sales tax regime. Today, Amazon dropped just over 1%. Walmart gained 0.7%. Overstock.com down 7%. Wayfair down 1.6%. eBay down 3.2%. Etsy dropped 1.4%. Brian Krzanich, no longer the chief executive of Intel, world's largest chip maker. That, according to a statement from the company this morning announcing his resignation. The reason: Krzanich had a past consensual relationship with an Intel employee, which Intel says violates the company's non-fraternization policy. Put differently, Intel is saying that in the past, Krzanich had an affair with someone who works at Intel, probably someone under him, since he's been an executive for decades, and that's against the rules. Krzanich is married with two children. Now the company's chief financial officer, Robert Swan, will serve as Intel's interim CEO. By most accounts, Krzanich had been doing a pretty good job. He's been the top exec at Intel since 2013 and had been trying to diversify the company's output beyond the chips that are nestled inside home computers and smartphones. The stock has performed quite well over the past few years. Last summer, there was a problem with security in Intel chips, and Krzanich reportedly sold about $39 million of his personal stock right before that story went public. An inappropriate stock sale did not sink him, but fraternization did, or at least it was the final straw. By expelling Krzanich, Intel is clearly trying to signal it holds its corporate leadership to high standards of workplace behavior. We don't know what happened, who complained, what motivated the complaint, when it happened, what kind of power dynamics were involved. Whatever went down, clearly internal disciplinary procedures weren't going to cut it, perhaps because there was a possibility details of the relationship could leak. After all, Intel felt it was prudent to share that it had to do with a consensual affair. Still, the dismissal of a CEO is a big deal, and even if Krzanich did violate rules, his exit counts as a surprise. Intel shares down about 2.4% today. The world's major oil-producing countries are under pressure from the U.S., China, and Russia to pump more crude and bring down oil prices, but OPEC's crunch meeting in Vienna tomorrow finds the oil cartel divided after nearly 2 years of unity over production cuts, which were due to run until the year's end. Saudi Arabia and Russia are leading the push to boost supplies. Iran, Iraq, and Venezuela are opposed to a significant increase. Since OPEC and Russia agreed in late 2016 to curb production in a bid to rebalance world supply and demand, crude prices have jumped 55%. Brent crude, the international benchmark, recently hit highs of $80 a barrel, raising inflation fears and concerns that it would act as a brake on world economies. Prices have since fallen back slightly to around $74 a barrel on market expectation that the OPEC meeting can result in an agreement to increase crude production. Higher oil prices spurred a jump in output from U.S. shale fields, but that wasn't enough to offset the output reductions by OPEC and its allies. Until recently, many observers thought this week's meeting would likely just mark an easing of the cuts, not a reversal. The U.S. changed that calculus in May by promising to reimpose sanctions on Iran and threatening sanctions on European companies that did business there. Iran supplies 4% of the world's oil, so its expected drop in exports will cause a shortfall. Supply has already been dented by production freefall and crisis hit Venezuela. Saudi Arabia and Russia have the capacity to pump more oil. Iran, Iraq, Algeria, and Venezuela do not, and they have nothing to gain from higher production and lower prices. While OPEC production cuts pushed prices higher, supply isn't the only factor. Strong economic growth globally has driven surprisingly high demand for crude and shows no signs of stopping. The International Energy Agency is forecasting demand to hit 100 million barrels per day next year. That appetite should create a floor under oil prices. Today, light sweet crude gained on news of inventory draws in the U.S. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 196 to finish at 24,461, the eighth straight decline for the Dow. S&P 500 down 17 at 2,749. NASDAQ Composite down 68 at 7,712. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, free, at eatthebankers.com.